wasn't supposed to rain yesterday. Gabby was having her birthday party. But it turned out perfect anyway. We just stayed inside, and we had the right amount of kids show up. If we had all the kids show up that were supposed to show up, it would have been a lot of kids. But God knows what needs to happen. So it was good. It was good fellowship with the parents, and the kids had a great time. So it's fun. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it'll be your words coming out of my mouth and not my own. Thank you for everyone who's here to hear and what you have to say today. Thank you that we get to celebrate this time of year in remembrance of why you came. And it just shows us the importance of you and family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is a great time of year. As my dad would always say, this probably happened in April. It didn't happen around Christmas time because, of course, it was tax season. Tax season probably wasn't in December. But it's good to celebrate. We have to remember the whole point of Jesus coming. And to know that, you go all the way back to the beginning, which was Adam and Eve. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and they sinned in the garden and they were kicked out because God's original plan was to have a bride for his son. And they messed up, and so Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. But God had already had a plan, and his plan was to send his son 4,000 years later to come and redeem us from that sin. And so that's why this time of year, it's awesome. We talk about the birth of Jesus, which was the start of the redemption. So, in April we have Resurrection Sunday or Easter, and then that's when it comes to a culmination. I want to read. Last week I read in Luke 1, which is about John the Baptist, which is it's neat. It's the herald. John the Baptist was the herald saying, "Hey, you guys, something awesome is about to happen. That promise that I gave you, that promise that I gave Adam, I'm fulfilling it. You guys get ready." Because, I mean, they've been waiting a long time. The only problem is, as we know, when Jesus comes into town on the donkey, they were expecting someone to come as a warrior. But that's not what Jesus means. Jesus means Savior. And they were thinking Savior as in warrior, not Savior as in Savior, as in I'm going to save you from yourself. They thought, they were going to say he was going to save them from, the world. The problem was that the Jewish people were supposed to share, and they didn't want to share. They're like, "We like this God, and we're going to keep him for us." God was like, "No, share it." And he goes, "All right, you guys didn't share, so I guess I'll have to share myself." So it's awesome. Jesus came as our Savior. Gave himself completely. I mean, if you were a God, would you do that? I mean, that would, me as a human, my mind can't comprehend that because that's the ultimate sacrifice. But I mean, I can because I'm a parent. And as a parent, you'll do that. You'll do anything for your children. You'll just sacrifice it all so that they can be blessed. So it's neat. Everything that God gives us in life is a picture of who he is. When you get married, then you have to, you should, we often do not, but you have to become unselfish because now you're united with somebody else. And as humans, we're just naturally selfish. And it's hard to become unselfish. That's why it's good to have God, because God kills that in us. And it's fun. I see times in myself when I am unselfish and I think, "Oh, there's God using me." And then other times I'm like, "Yeah, I was just being selfish." and then even more so when you become a parent, man, you realize how much you have to die to yourself because any freedom you did have is completely gone. And but man, what a gift to be able to share your life so that someone else could have a life. So I mean, that's God's picture. He said, "I'm willing to give my life so that you can have life." He made us so that he could have a bride. And he said, you know, one day you'll be without spot and without wrinkle. You'll be perfect. Don't worry about it. And that's the good thing. You know, people think, oh, I got to work up to that. I got to work up to being perfect for God. And God's like, no, I just want to spend time with you. I'll do all the perfecting. And it's fun. It's fun to see God do that in your life, how you things that you think, oh, I'll never be able to get rid of that. And he just takes it out of your life. And one day you're like, oh, it's gone. Wahoo. And it didn't even hurt. I don't even miss it. You know, it's like, you know, whatever it be, anger or lust or whatever, it's just gone. So the devil sometimes will try to sneak it back in and go, hey, you remember? And you're like, devil, you're a liar. That did not bring me any joy. So, but the world is constantly seeking fulfillment, and they go through all that stuff, but they don't realize that their fulfillment is in God. And that's awesome. I mean, they don't know what they're missing. You try to tell them, but they're just, because, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to get into Luke. Hallelujah. Luke 2. And it happened in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus for all the habitable world to be registered. That's a pretty bold statement, all the habitable world. So the Indians over here in America didn't count. They weren't habitable. But anyway, so he any place that Rome touched, which that's God working. God always takes what man does and then uses it for his own purpose. You know, Rome was this mighty power, and they built roads everywhere, and then God used those roads to get his plan done. And the Romans just thought they were being awesome, and God was like, oh, I'm just using you to do what I need to get done. So all these people from all over, they had to be registered. And this registration first occurred under the governing of Syria by Cyrenius. And all went to be registered, each to his own city. And, I mean, nowadays it's not that hard. You just have to go online or send your stuff in. But back then you had to travel all the way back to where you were born, which me, it's Fort Worth, so I'm okay with that. But it's kind of odd. I mean, I don't know why they would do that. But maybe it's just because they weren't sophisticated enough to know, hey, this guy is from this city and he came over here. So, but it's good, because what did it do? It caused a prophecy to be fulfilled. And the prophecy was that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. So had it not happened, had those men not come up with this idea, hey, let's send everybody back to their own hometown, to do taxes, that was man's idea. But that was God using that to fulfill his own prophecy that said the Son of God is going to be born in Jerusalem. Excuse me, in Bethlehem. To the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because of his being of the house. Okay, I think I missed some stuff. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because of his being of the house of the family of David, to be registered with Mary, she having been betrothed to him as a wife. If you go back to Matthew, it's fun. It goes through all the lineage of how it gets to this point. And it's fun to see all the people that God put in there that you don't think should belong, but they do. And that all leads up to the Son of God being born. That's what's great about God, is he uses people that you don't think should be used, because that's the way God does things. He says, you don't have any respect for this person, but I do. I love them. I created them. I knew them from the day they were born, and I'm going to use them for something awesome. And that's awesome. That lets us all get in. You know, you don't have to be something awesome to get in. You just have to be you. God loves us, each and every one of us, just the way we are. To be registered with Mary, she having been betrothed to him as wife. And she being pregnant, and it happened as they were there in the days were fulfilled for her to bear. So she was getting ready. And she bore her son, the firstborn, and she wrapped him and laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Again, I mean, that goes back to that story. I told it several weeks ago, and Mom told it last night. It's funny how she was talking to those Jewish folks, and they're like, God wouldn't send down his son to be born in a manger. It's like, yeah, that is stupid. Why? I mean, he should be born in a palace. He's God's son. But then that's God. God just does things that's arbitrary. He had a son be born in a manger, and then he had the shepherds, which are the lowliest of all people, come and worship him first. Because he wanted the shepherds to know, hey, you guys are just as important as the king. You guys get first crack at going to worship the Son of God. And by the way, go tell everybody afterwards. I mean, wouldn't you do that? You're like, man, I just saw the most famous person that's ever going to be, ever. You guys should come see him. So, I mean, that's awesome. Next week, there's going to be a play. And that's what it was funny because a couple years ago, I thought, you know, why is there never a play from the shepherd's perspective? You know, you always have the Mary, Joseph, and Jesus play. I was like, there needs to be a shepherd's play. And so Holly, this year, she found one. I asked her to do that. And she, so next week we're going to have a play, and it's going to be about the shepherd's perspective of the birth. Because, I mean, God chose them. That was fascinating that, I mean, he would choose them. So, and the shepherds were in the same country, living in the fields and keeping guard over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord came on them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they feared with a great fear. Which I know, I always wonder what would happen if I saw an angel. I always think, I've read so many stories about angels. Would I truly be afraid, or would I be like, this is awesome? And I'm sure I'd be afraid, but I'd still be thinking, this is awesome. And the angel said to them, what they always say, do not fear. For behold, I announce good news to you, a great joy, which will be to all people. So right there, the first thing he says is to everybody. Everybody. It's good news to everybody. People that don't even believe in God, believe in another God. It's going to be good news to everybody. Because today, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, was born to you in the city of David. And this is a sign to you. You will find the babe having been wrapped and lying in a manger. And so right there, he's like, it's again, the shepherds should have thought. I mean, if it hadn't been for the angels telling them, the shepherds would have been like, yeah, whatever. The king is born in a manger. But there was angels all, you know, and it's like, yeah, okay, so I'm going to believe this because there's an angel standing in front of me. And suddenly there was a multitude in the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill among men. So, and that was the first thing God came to do, was to bring peace. You know, we're always striving. And what does God say? God said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's trying to... We're always making things way harder than they need to be. And God just is like, be still and know. That's so hard for a person to do. Because we're just constantly striving. We got to get somewhere. We got to do something. We got to make something. We got to be something. And God is like, slow down. Slow down. And that's what's great about this time of year is whether people are believers or not, they slow down this time of year. Because unless you work at Walmart, and then you do not. But you get to slow down this time of year and spend time with family and see what is important. Because it's hard to see what is important when you're constantly moving. Because when you're moving fast, you just focus laser on whatever you're doing. But if you don't slow down, sometimes you miss the most important things. You know, you miss your kids growing up. You miss, something hanging out with your wife. You know, I do that a lot. We have Gabby now, and it's when before Gabby was around, Mary and I got to spend lots of time together, and we get to have no alone time at all unless she goes to bed at 9 and we'll stay up till 11 or something just so that we can hang out, you know, with adult, just be again with another adult. So, but it's good. Just slow down. You know, that is a great scripture. Be still and know that I am God. I mean, that's just God saying, hey, he already promised he would take care of everything. He said, just sit down with me. I'll provide the loaves and the fishes. Just sit down and let me teach you. Sit down and let me talk to you. Have a conversation with me. All the other stuff, I've already got it all worked out. You just need to slow down. So glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill among men. And it happened as the angels departed for them into heaven, even the men, the shepherds, said to one another, "Indeed, let us go over to Bethlehem, and let us see this thing which has occurred." I mean, you do that. I mean, if an angel came to you and said, "Go look," you're like, "Yeah, never mind." No, you'd go look. Which the Lord made known to us. So I mean, in the old days, before Jesus came, God would send angels, or he would fill somebody with His Holy Spirit. And it was obvious. Nowadays, it doesn't seem so obvious because we all have Jesus in us, but then we have the world around us just confusing us. And we were talking yesterday. It's like people were probably a lot smarter in the old days because they had no distractions. Nowadays we have entertainment at our fingertips instantaneously, 24/7, and so it's not that we're less smart. It's just that it's easy to be distracted. The devil likes to entertain us so that we lose our sight of what we need to do and who we need to be and who we are. And the Bible says, you can see yourself in a mirror and then walk away and you forget who you are. It's like God told us who we are, and we got to remind ourselves daily. And it's funny. I thought as a young man, well, that's dumb. How could you forget who you are? And as I get older and more mature, I go, you can forget how you are so quickly. You're praising God, and you walk out the door, and you get in your truck, and you drive down the road, and somebody cuts you off, and you just get angry. You just forgot who you were right then. My dad would say, "I wish I had a bazooka and I could blow that guy off the road." Yeah, I know that feeling. It's like, why'd you cut me off? But then Jesus would say, "Well, you don't. First of all, peace. Second of all, you have no idea what's going on in that person's life. How about you just stop and pray for him?" Oh, okay. I mean, that's when I worked retail, and somebody would just come at me and they'd just be in a bad mood or vicious or whatever, I would have to remember, I have no idea what's going on in this person's life. I don't know if they had just lost a family member or they just got fired from their job. I don't know if they just got chewed out by their boss or if they just had a bad day at home. Just give them grace. God gave us so much grace, we can just pass that grace on. I mean, we deserve death. And God gave us eternal life. So it's like, it's not hard for us to go, yeah, I don't deserve anything I've got, so I'll just give grace to whoever needs it. Because that's, hallelujah. Does anybody know where I'm at? Yeah, somewhere around there. I usually hold my finger there so I don't lose my place. And it happened as the angels departed from them into heaven, even the men, the shepherds said unto one another, "Indeed, let us go to Bethlehem and let us see this thing which has occurred, which the Lord made known to us." And hurrying, they came and sought out both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. There it was, Jesus in the manger. And seeing, they publicly told about the word spoken to them about the child. And all these hearing marveled about the things spoken to them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all the words meditating in their heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God with all things which they had heard and saw, and even which was spoken to them. It's interesting, if you go around to the other parts of the world and spiritual things happen, a lot of parts of the world will believe you. But in America, we have so much entertainment and whatever, and we just see so many things that are fantastic that it just doesn't register in our minds. Like if you go to Africa and you talk about witchcraft, those people are like, yeah, that stuff is real. And in America, we're like, yeah, I saw it in a movie one time, and it just doesn't, we're so inundated with stuff. But I mean, so these shepherds went around, they're like, hey, we saw angels, and then we saw the Son of God. And people believed them because, they were expecting it. They were wanting that. They couldn't wait. I mean, they had been waiting for thousands of years for this to happen, and it was exciting to them. They're like, finally, finally. And again, like I said, they thought, oh, this is the warrior that's going to come and deliver us. And he's like, and they're like, no, he's not that Savior. He's a different kind of Savior. That guy comes later. That guy comes 2,000 years later. He'll come back on his white horse. And when 8 days were fulfilled to circumcise the child, his name was called Jesus, the name called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. I'm going to get something out. So this is kind of fun. Let's see. A major theme throughout the New Testament revolves around the power of Jesus' name. Demons flee, the sick are healed, all creation bows down in worship, and all at the name of Jesus. From a linguistic standpoint, the name of Jesus carries a lot of deep meaning. In its original culture, both in the Greek and in the Hebrew languages, Jesus' name in English comes from the Latin Iesus, which is a translation from the Greek Lesus. I'm probably not saying that right, but bear with me. Which is a translation from the Aramaic name Yeshua, which comes from the Hebrew Yahoshua or Joshua. The name comes from the Hebrew verb Yasha, which means he saves. The proper name is Yah, which is short for the name of Yahweh. Put together, Jesus' name in its original language means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. So that's awesome. So, and then I always wondered this and actually discovered this, that I was like, well, is Jesus was that a common name, or was he the first person to be named Jesus? And actually it was a pretty common name. It was kind of like John back then. A lot of people were named Jesus. So that's why they would call him Jesus of Nazareth. And then he became Jesus Christ, which was Jesus was his earthly name, and then Christ would be the Messiah. So he's the Savior and the Messiah. So the Lord. So it's awesome. Names are so important. Gabby's name, Gabriella. It was funny because Mary always wanted to name her daughter Gabriella, and I wanted Victoria because she was a victory. So it was going to be Victoria Abigail, and now it's not. it's Gabriella Victoria. So it's God's. It's like God is mighty, and then it's and victorious. So it's like God is mighty and victorious. That's what her name means. So it was actually kind of a fun little story, because Mary and I had gone back and forth, and I'm like, I really want Victoria, and she's like, I really want Gabriella, and I'd prayed about it, and you know, I like my wife to be happy, but this is gonna be her name forever. I'm like, this is something you got to be serious about, and I said, God, just show me, and I was going through, and I looked up, and I just happened to come across this story of a little boy, and he was gonna have a sister. And he was talking to his parents, and they're like, well, what should we name her? And he's like, well, this is Christmas time, and we're reading about the angel Gabriel, so I think we should name her Gabriella. And I was like, okay, God, that's all I need from you. So God, I just use that story to show me that's going to be her name. So it's awesome. I love how God works. God, you can ask a dumb question, and God gives you an awesome answer. You know, because it seems so trivial to us. Why would God be interested in the trivial things of our life? But he's interested in everything in our life. He's our Father. It's just like any parent is interested in every part of their child's life. Our Father is interested in every part of our life. No matter how trivial we think it is, it's important to him. It's important to every parent. You know, we want our kids to be happy, to be healthy, to be, you know, have a good time, to have good friends, to, you know, to learn. You know, God wants all that stuff for us. And when the days of her cleansing according to the law of Moses were fulfilled, they took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it had been written in the law of the Lord, every male opening the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two nestling of doves. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, eagerly expecting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was the Holy Spirit was upon him. So I always say that's interesting, is whenever God's going to do something, he sends his Holy Spirit into that person. You know, David, you know, when Saul was king, the Holy Spirit went into him, and then Saul, you know, went ahead and did the sacrifice even though he wasn't supposed to, and then the Holy Spirit left him, and God sent his Spirit into David. And the cool thing nowadays is once you get saved, the Holy Spirit's in all of us. You know, he doesn't pick a particular person. He says, hey, if you pick me, I'm going to give you my Spirit. So, and it happened to him, having been divinely instructed by the Holy Spirit, he was not to see death before he would see the Christ of the Lord. And by the Spirit, he came into the temple. So, I mean, like I just said, God's interested in every part of our day. So the Holy Spirit just happened. It's weird. I know that has happened in my life when, like, I think I'm being dumb. I'm procrastinating. I'm not getting to where I need to get at a certain time. And I get there when I get there. And then I meet somebody that will affect the rest of my life. And it's like, because that God takes my shortcomings, which is procrastination, and uses it to bless me and for his benefit. You know, had I been there an hour early when I should have been, I mean, you guys all know, had I not been a procrastinator, I never would have met Mary. I mean, that was God using my shortcomings, because I was supposed to go to that conference 3 months earlier or 2 months earlier, and I just kept not signing that form and kept not signing that form and kept, and I finally signed the form, and then I went and I met Mary. That's God. He already knew that I was supposed to marry Mary. You know, he set it up. He knew that Gabrielle was going to be born. He knew my whole life. You know, he knew that when my mom was born, she was supposed to be baptized in the Lutheran church so that she would meet my dad later, because she wasn't Lutheran. But the pastor at her church wouldn't baptize her, but the Lutheran pastor would. So she got baptized, and here I am because of just. And it's, you think, well, that's trivial. It's like, no, that's God. God just lays things out, and then you're here. So let's see. And it happened to him, being divinely instructed by the Holy Spirit, he was not to see death before he saw Christ of the Lord. And the Spirit came into the temple, and as the parents were bringing the child Jesus for them to do according to the custom of the law concerning him, Simon received him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now you will let your slave go in peace, Master, according to your word, because my eyes saw your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the nations and the glory of your God, the glory of your people Israel." So it's. I mean, he knew. Sorry, my throat is super dry. And Jesus was, and Joseph was marveling, also his mother, at things being said concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "Behold, this one is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for the signs spoken against ye, a sword also will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." It's interesting. The Bible says that as a believer, someone's either going to love you or hate you. And it's true. If you speak the gospel to somebody, they'll either accept it or they'll, you know, run from you. It's you know, they'll hate you. And it's weird to me, because it's like, I'm here and I want to tell you about this amazing gift. And some people, and the thing is we have nothing to do with it. We're just a vessel. God is already preparing that person's heart. Somebody spoke a word to them, or they're in some way. And I do not understand why you would not just take a free gift. Like I said to this woman months ago on Facebook, because she was, I don't remember why she was arguing with me something. She was arguing with me about being a Christian. I said, I'm a Christian. And if one day when I die, I'm wrong, I lived an amazing life and I blessed a lot of people. I said, but if you get to the end of your life and you're wrong, you're going to hell. I said, so even if it seems trivial to you to give your life to Christ, it's better that you give your life to Christ, you know, and not go to hell. I mean, it's like, it's just an easy choice. And yet, but they're still stubborn. And they're just like, yeah, I think you're an idiot. And you're like, well, so be it. We'll see. We'll see who's right in the end. It's like, my desire is that everybody would know the love of Jesus. But you can't. And that's the thing. That's what's so hard, is it's like, even like doctors want to save everybody, and they can't. You can't save everybody. You know, you just have to ask God for peace. Lord, give me peace to be able to deal with the fact that this person passed on. Or, you know, what was the interesting thing, when my dad passed, I didn't know how I would handle it. And what was crazy is I was sad to lose him, but I was happy because I knew where he was. I mean, that is the whole point of our life, is to get to Jesus, to get to heaven, and to be his bride. And how can you be sad at that? It's like this earth is just a stepping point to where we want to be, which is through all eternity. And I've said this a lot of times, and I used to say this to youth group. I said, whatever you think is important right now, just hang on. It's you know, you're making too big of a deal about it. Earth is just a blip in time. We have all eternity. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Christ. I'm like, and I thought, rule and reign over what? I thought, I need to research that. What are we ruling and reigning over? I thought, that's fascinating, because I mean, what is the bride of a king? Is a queen. So we're going to be Queen David. No, that doesn't. That's the thing. It's so funny. I've been wrestling with, the problem is we have earthly things and then we have spiritual things, and sometimes they don't, and they seem to fight each other, and it's because the spiritual world it doesn't compute the same way the physical world does. You know, you think, you know, male and female and all that kind of stuff, it's just not the same. And so, because we've been going through this study with Ron, and it's talking about Adam and Eve and male and female. And it's, you know, a husband and a wife is a type and shadow of Jesus and his bride. And so we have to take all these normal ideas that we have in our mind about the earth, and I have to understand it spiritually. And I've never wanted that. When everybody, like, I'd go to some Bible study and they'd be like, well, this is a type and shadow, or this is blah, 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 and I'm like, I'm into practical. God said he'd take care of all my needs. I'm into that. I don't want to try to figure all this stuff out. Oh, sorry about that. Holy mackerel. So, I'm going to get back onto the scripture. Does anybody know where I ended at? 36. Thank you. And there was, I like this part. And there was Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in many days, having lived 7 years with a husband from her virginity, and was a widow 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers, and coming on at the very hour she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke, excuse me, concerning him. Does anybody have a cough drop? And all those in Jerusalem eagerly expecting redemption. And as they finished all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and to Nazareth, the city. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thank you. Oh, nice. Thank you, Polly. So we were talking about this morning how we go over this stuff so that we remember. I mean, that was something that God had the Israelites do a lot. They would have feasts, and they would have feasts and festivals. Sometimes it would last a day. Sometimes it would be a week, you know, or more. I always think that's interesting that we have, as a society, we've built into, you know, you work, and it's like, but God was like, no, you work and you rest, and you work and you rest, and you work and you rest. We have a hard time slowing down and resting. It's good to slow down and remember what God has done. It's amazing. I mean, like I said, the Israelites went through Egypt, were in Egypt, they got released, and they forgot immediately. They went through, you know, that God rescued them from the Egyptians. Then God fed them every day. There's a really fun song from, I think it was Keith Green, who was about manna. Because he was like all the different things you could make from manna. Manna was, you know, banana bread was probably my favorite. But it's like, I'm sure they got bored of manna a lot. Really bored of it. I mean, they did get to have quail every Sunday. Maybe it was Saturday night. But it's like, we forget. We're so caught up in everything, we forget what God has done for us and what is beautiful and precious and important. And we forget who we are. We are the bride of Christ. And the bride gets married. You know, that's who God said, you know, I will make you will be without spot or wrinkle. And the cool thing is when you become betrothed to somebody, you get to spend time with them and you get to know who they are and you get to, you know, you fall in love with them and you get to see all their, well, in human terms, we get to see all their good traits. You don't see all their bad traits till after you're married. And then you go, oh, wait a minute, you hid that from me. I'm not saying that about Mary. Mary's been wonderful my entire marriage. I'm just saying, most people. She brings out the best in me, and I bring out the best in her. So, I'm a super relaxer, and she's a super worker, and we complement each other well. I get her to relax, and she gets me to work harder. So, I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway. Remember, we're the bride of Christ. That's the whole point. That's the whole reason Jesus came, was so that we could one day become his queen and rule and reign beside him in heaven. I have no idea what it's going to be like, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be amazing. Because I enjoy earth, and earth is just a tiny taste of what heaven's going to be like. You know, you think of all the good things that you know on earth. Remember, none of the bad things are going to be there. There won't be any sickness. There won't be any sin. There won't be any, you know, there won't be hatred. There's no evil. So all the good things that you like on earth, it'll be in heaven times a jillion. So, and we'll be, you know, we'll be beside him, ruling and reigning, and it'll be amazing. I can't even imagine. So, let me get into. Were you guys blessed today? Do you guys love Jesus as much as I do? Do you love him because you love him, or do you love him because he's in you loving him? It's good. He does all the stuff for us. He does it all for us. And that's what's exciting. We don't, you know, because we just fall short every time. I should just memorize this, but I haven't memorized it yet. And I've heard it since I was a little kid a gajillion times, you'd think. I think it's just my fear of saying it correctly, so I just read it anyways. The Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his peace. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of year where we get to remember your gift of your Son to us. Thank you where we get to remember why family is so important to us, and we get to, unlike Santa, we get to go, I love you no matter what. I don't care if you did wrong. I still want to bless you. Thank you for blessing us even when we do wrong. You love us unconditionally. What a gift, unconditional love. It doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. You love us. Thank you, Father, for everyone that's here. Keep them safe. Keep them, let all their words be edifying to one another today. And let them have a fantastic week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Offering.